Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Brett Walker, and this is Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. John 3:16. We see it everywhere we look, at football games and golf tournaments. There's usually someone holding up a sign that says John 3:16. Even non-Christians are sometimes able to quote this verse. As Christians, we understand that this single verse of Scripture holds the entirety of the gospel, and yet many of us are confused as to what the gospel is exactly. Today on Guerrilla Christianity, we will look at what the gospel is, why it matters, and how to find it in its entirety in this one verse, John 3:16. Now if you would, open up your Bible to John chapter 3, and prepare your heart and mind as we find the gospel in one verse. John chapter 3, the title of the message today is The Gospel in One Verse. Now you might read the bulletin and say, yeah, but there's like five verses there. Well, one of those verses is the verse that we're going to be talking about today. In fact, it's probably the most well-known verse in all the Bible. We're going to see exactly what the gospel is and how to find it in full in this one verse. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. John chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, the question before us today is this. What do you believe about Jesus? Or, who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus asked this very question of his disciples. When he came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? This is the question that we must answer. The question that everyone on earth has to answer at some point in their lives. Who do you say that Jesus is? In our secular society, we want to sort of clip the wings of Jesus. We don't necessarily want him to be God Almighty. We want him to be a great teacher. We want him to be a great prophet. We want him to be a good person, you know, who taught some good things, who loved. But God, he is so much more than that. Jesus is so much more than that. There are some people who say he's a great teacher, a prophet, a great man. They fall short of who Jesus really is, because the truth is hard to accept, especially in the secular world of today. And yet in John chapter 8, Jesus, talking to the Jews, said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father
who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. So he's declaring there that God is his Father. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. And he says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now the Jews mocked him. They said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said, possibly the most important thing that we have recorded that he said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He's not talking about his existence. He's not talking about his eternal existence. He is equating himself to the I am of the Old Testament. He didn't simply say that he was the Son of God. He claimed to be I am. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, then know this. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses met God in a burning bush, and Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And then he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. It's the name of God. The name of God is I am, because he is. It defines everything about God that we need to know. Before time existed, before the universe was born, God is. In the present tense, I am. That's why Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Because he exists in eternity past and eternity future, and he exists in the here and now. He is. I am. No person, no good teacher, no prophet could make that claim unless he truly were. And so if Jesus is not I am, then he also is not a good teacher. He is also not a prophet, because he declares an untruth. But if Jesus is who he says he is, if Jesus is I am, then he is not just a good teacher. He is not just a prophet. He is God Almighty. And that's what we have to answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? In verse 13 of the text today, Jesus said, and he's talking to Nicodemus, by the way. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Pharisees were very religious, and they knew the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, what we would call the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. They knew them backwards and forwards. And so Jesus, speaking to this man who was very learned and who understood the Bible, who understood the Old Testament, he said to him, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now why would he say Son of Man here, if later he says, I am? Jesus was both fully God and fully human in one divine being. He wasn't either or. He wasn't only human or only God. He also wasn't part God and part human. He was fully God, fully human in one divine being. The Nicene Creed puts it this way: we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through Him all things were made. Which means that when we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that means we're talking about Jesus. Not just God the Father, but God the Son as well. In the first chapter of John, he starts out with this word. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made." Jesus, along with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, is the Creator. So when He says, "I am," He means, "I am." Verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Now what is he talking about there? Again, speaking to Nicodemus, a man who was very learned and understood the Old Testament, he would have known in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 21, talks about the people of Israel and how they transgressed against God. They grumbled against Moses. It says, "The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread," the manna that they were eating, that God provided for them. They hated it. Every day, manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time, you know? I mean, they were just sick to death of it. "The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died," because he grumbled against them. "Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." That's all they had to do. When they were bitten by a poisonous serpent, all they had to do was look at the serpent up on the pole, and they would live. Why? Because it was something that they had to do to believe in God. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Because Jesus was lifted up on a pole too. And whoever looks to Him when they're bitten by sin, they shall live. They shall live. We have to look to Jesus. He was lifted up for our sake. And all we have to do is to look to Him. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." So when we earn a wage, we earn a wage. We work at something and we earn a wage. When we work at sin, what we earn is death. Doesn't sound very much like anything we would want. Can you imagine reading that in the classified ads? "Come and work at sin and earn death." Yeah, they'll be, you know, lighting up the switchboard with that one, right? But that's what we do. We work at sin and we earn death. But then, the promise of God. "The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's a free gift. We don't earn it. We can't work at it. It's something that God gives us for free. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent, that whoever looked at it would live, so the Son of Man, Jesus, must also be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And now we come to John 3:16. The entire gospel in one verse. What is the gospel? What does the word gospel mean? It means the good news. Very good. Yeah, it's an old English word. We don't speak old English anymore. It actually comes from two old English words. It's Godspell. You ever see that movie, by the way, or the musical Godspell? Victor Garber played Jesus with a Superman shirt, right? Yeah, I love that movie. It's great music and everything else. But Godspell was the old English word, and it turned into gospel. People say, you know, what's the gospel truth? Meaning it's bedrock foundational truth, and it cannot be unseated from being true. But that's not what gospel means. Gospel means good news. So the question is, what is the good news? Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." That's what the good news is. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We know this verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God. God exists. Do you know that? God exists. Science keeps trying to explain God away. Say, we don't need Him. You know, the Big Bang, that's what created everything. What made the Big Bang? You know, it is a scientific axiom that for every effect, there has to be a cause. With one exception. The only effect that doesn't need a cause, apparently, is the birth of the universe. It just happened. Nothing caused it. It just, all of a sudden, there was nothing, and then all of that nothing became something. Right? Stephen Hawking, one of the most brilliant minds of our time, said this: "The universe created itself because it had to." And yet, we as Christians are accused of pseudoscience mumbo jumbo. The universe created itself because it had to? I believe the first verse in the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God created it. God was the cause. The effect is everything around us. And so, God exists. Everything was made by Him. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." All of creation screams out, there is a creator. There is a creator. No one comes to a beautiful building. You know, have you ever seen some of the skyscrapers in New York City? Or even, you know, the Comcast building in Philadelphia is spectacular. Beautiful building. But nobody goes to Philadelphia and looks at the Comcast building and goes, "Wow! Something must have exploded here and created that." You know? Wonder how many sticks of dynamite it took to make that building. By accident. Creation declares that there is a creator. So, for God means that God exists. God so loved. For God so loved. God loves. God is love. Did you know that? God is love. It means that the essence of love is God. And when we love, we are expressing God to one another. The essence of love is God. And we're talking about agape. It's that divine love, perfect and perfecting, a love that gives and asks nothing in return. And Romans 5:8 says, God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we had nothing to offer Him, when we turned our back on Him, He loved us so much that He gave His Son to die for us so that we can live forever. He died our death on the cross so that we can live forever with God. That's how much God loves us. For God so loved the world. God loves the whole world. It's His creation. It's the work of His hands. And He loves it with an undying love. And His love is transforming. It remakes us to where Genesis says, "And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good." God's creation was very good in the beginning. And then we messed it all up. But God's love transforms us back to that place where it was very good. So God loves the whole world. For God loved, so loved the world, that, what? He gave. He gave. God is a giver. God gives to us. God provides for us. God made everything, and so everything is His, which means that anything that you have in your possession belongs to God and was given to you by God. Everything. So everything that we have is a gift from God. God gives it to us, including the gift of eternal life.
Well, we're going to stop there for today, and we'll continue tomorrow with the same message. And I'd like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and if you live in the Salem County area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday morning for worship. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn gathers together at 9 a.m., and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, if a message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on the social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep listening, keep growing, and join us tomorrow as we continue to look at the gospel in one verse.